This is John from the freegiftfromgod.com podcast. Today, I'm continuing on with this session on Salvation Road and walking as Jesus, and I'm looking specifically at the love of God. Now, to understand what the love of God is, the primary objective of this particular session, and also we need to learn how we're to emulate God's love, and this is what I want to be looking at today. So in overview, in this session, we consider the love of God, identifying what it is, how it applies to us, and how we are to emulate the love of God. Love is the only thing that lasts forever. It's the only thing that's permanent because God is love. And if we are to live into eternity with God the Father and with Jesus Christ, then we must live and learn how to live in the love of God. So the first scripture I want to take a look at today is in the letter of John, 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 16, which says this: Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and he who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest amongst us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the expiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No man has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his own Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son as the Saviour of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we know and believe the love God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. The ultimate goal for all Christians is to learn to love as God loved. God is love, as it said a number of times there. And it's because he first loved us that we have the chance to become like him. In Jesus Christ, God was showing mankind his perfect love. First, Christ was the example that we need to learn from and follow. And secondly, the teachings of Christ are the teachings of love. In him is the embodiment of God's love, and he showed his love to us by dying so that we might have the chance to live forever. In his great love for us through Jesus Christ, God was offering us salvation and reconciliation. He offers us freedom from sin to allow us to stand in his presence and be taught by God. The outcome of his teaching is that we could learn to walk in love as God is love. And that's something that we must do if we're going to live with him forever. The next scripture I want to look at is one that I'm sure you'll know quite well. It's John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God sent the Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. In this well-known scripture, we see the ultimate expression of God's love for mankind. Even though we don't deserve it, God made allowances for man by sending Jesus to die for our sins. In his love for us, he has given us a way out of the destruction that's coming upon the whole earth. Although we deserve condemnation because all mankind has sinned, God saw fit to give us a chance to return to him and to be with him forever. It's our choice to follow God and choose his love over the love of this world. Those who do choose his love by following Christ will receive his blessings as they come into his presence and his love. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 48, we see this: You have heard that it was said, You shall love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you salute only your brethren, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You, therefore, must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. In the last verse of this section, we see that if we are to be like the heavenly Father, then we must be perfect as he is perfect. And by that, he means we need to be perfected in love. As God shows his love to his enemies by doing good to them, so too we must learn to love our enemies. The love of God is not so much about affection and emotion, it's about behaviours and actions. When we do good to others or refrain from doing harm to our enemies, then we are showing God's love to them. We can love our enemies by praying for them in the hope that they will find Christ. Just as God goes above and beyond even for his enemies, so too we are to learn to emulate God by doing good to all mankind, friend or enemy. Judgment is not ours to take. It belongs to the Lord. We are to learn to love and so show in our deeds and our actions the love of God and of Jesus Christ. The next verse is in Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 34. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbour as yourself.' There is no other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there is no other but he. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbour as oneself, is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared to ask him any question. Now, in the Old Testament, there were over 650 laws and commandments given. The first and most important of the Ten Commandments was to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, which is what Jesus showed. And as Jesus showed in these words, the second most important of all of the commandments was not even one of the Ten Commandments, but it was to love your neighbour as yourself. Love is the fulfilling of the law. When we are walking in the love of God, we fulfil all the requirements of the law because we love God and we love our neighbours. The law is about how to live with God and with one another in perfect harmony. And when we love as God loves, we fulfil all of those requirements in the law. The truth of the gospel is not about the law. It's about learning to love as God loved, and so be perfected in love, and as a byproduct, we will fulfil the requirements of the law as God's nature abides in us through Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit to perfect us. In the next scripture, I'm looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 8, and this is often referred to as the love chapter. "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away." Now, the thing that we see in these verses is that love is not about emotions or affections. Love is about how we behave and act. It's about our relationships to God and to others. This is the agape love that people often talk about, that is the love of God. It's the love that does no harm to another and does no wrong to a neighbour. The true love of God always considers the needs of others and seeks what is best for them. When we walk in God's love, this is how we behave. We help, we assist, nurture and grow those around us, blessing them in God's love as we've been blessed by God. As someone once said, love is a verb. It's about doing an action so that others are blessed and built up. In Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 8, we read this. "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in our hope of sharing the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit which has been given to us. While we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Why, one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man one will dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." In these words, we see the process of growing into perfection in God's love, and it comes by and through the working of the Holy Spirit in us. God has given us the Holy Spirit to teach us and to counsel and guide us so that we can learn how to live in God's love and to be built up in his love. As we see in this scripture, our walk and our growth with Christ Jesus into the love of God is a process. It's a progression that goes through stages, and it's the Holy Spirit that takes us along this pathway and along this journey all the time, teaching us and transforming us by the love of Christ into the image of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, we read this: "For the love of Christ controls us, because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died." This is the aim for all Christians. We aim to come to the place where we are controlled by the love of Christ. This doesn't mean that we become automatons or robots that are controlled and directed at the whim of another. No, it means that all of our thoughts, our decisions and actions are made and done through the lens of Jesus Christ's love. We're controlled to the extent that we do not stray from the thoughts, actions, motivations and behaviours that are based on the love of Christ. In this world, people are driven by their urges and passions, lusts and desires. We're learning to be driven by the love of Christ so that his love underpins what we do and, more importantly, who we are. The next scripture is in John chapter 5, verses 42 to 47. "But I know that you have not the love of God within you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. It is Moses who accuses you, on whom you set your hope. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" So not every person will be led by the love of God. The love of God considers others, but most of mankind operates from a selfish perspective based upon what's in it for me. Even in the church, there are and will be those who are not promoting the love of God, but rather the love of self. They teach the love of things, money, wealth, possessions, and riches. They teach a modern form of idolatry where Christ has been replaced by these other things, and even sometimes he's been replaced by man. And as we see in this scripture, those who follow such ways will be judged under the law, especially where there is idolatry occurring, because God hates idolatry. The next scripture is Romans chapter 14, verses 13 to 19. "Then let us no more pass judgment on one another, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but is unclean for anyone who thinks it unclean. If your brother is being injured by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. Do not let what you eat cause the ruin of one for whom Christ died. So do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. He who thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. Let us then pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding." Walking in love is about considering the needs and the weaknesses of others. It's about ensuring we don't do or say anything that might cause a brother or sister in Christ to fall. There are many teachings in the broad Christian church that are wrong and are false, and we need to root them out. But some of the teachings are relatively harmless and so can be ignored. The example Paul gives is of those who believe they must follow a strict vegetarian diet to walk properly. This is not required anywhere in the Bible, but it's not a sin to do so either. In such a case, then, if we were to come to such a person eating meat and teaching that they should do so, their consciences may be conflicted and they could lose what they have in Christ. Even though it's not a sin, they may be upset and their faith may be shaken, and by so doing, we are not walking in love towards that person. We are not considering their needs or their situation, but instead we might harm them, and that is not walking in the love of God. Now, the last scripture I want to look at is John chapter 15, verses 9 to 13. "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." So finally here, we see Jesus emphasizing again the critical points shown in the law. We must learn to love one another as Christ loved us, and to love God as God loves us. This is the final and ultimate goal for all who come to Christ, to learn to love as he loves. There is no greater commandment and there is no greater way that we can live or walk in this life than to love one another. Aim at love and seek the pathway that leads to the abiding love of God in your life, and so be transformed in the image of Jesus Christ, who was the image of God the Father and who is love. And I shouldn't say he was the image, he still is the image of God the Father, and God the Father, of course, is love. God is love. So a couple of questions for you to think about. Firstly, how can you show the love of Christ and of God in your daily walk? Secondly, is there anything in your nature that you're aware of that might lead you away from the love of God? What is it, and how can you overcome it? Third, are you aware that the love of God is about actions and behaviours towards others? It's not about affection and emotions. And finally, how can you show the love of God towards your enemies and those who persecute you? That's a tough one. So here's a call to action. Seek to understand the love of God. Look up all of the references to God's love in the New Testament and read them to understand what his love's all about. Secondly, look at the things Jesus did while he walked the earth. Note how he always taught about love and showed love to others in his healings, when he fed the 5,000, and so many other things. And consider some of the teachings and actions of Jesus that showed love, things like the Good Samaritan, the woman at the well, the woman caught in adultery, and so on. These are all things that you need to think about to understand fully what the love of God is. So spend a few moments now in prayer to ask the Lord to show you the pathway to the love of God. Ask him to reveal to you what the love of God looks like and to help you to emulate his love in your life. That's the end of this session. The next session we're going to go on, it's an extension of this, because we've seen that when we walk in the love of God, we're perfect as he is perfect. So in our next session, what I want to look at is the whole issue of perfection. So this is John from the freegiftfromgod.com podcast signing off. I hope that you've been blessed by this. I hope that you found something useful and something interesting in this. And I hope that you will join me again in a week's time. So I'm signing off now. I wish you all the best for the coming week, and may God bless you in all of the things that you have to do. God bless you.